Hallowed be thy name. Welcome to episode 38 of Anglican Catechesis, where we're learning to follow Jesus on the Anglican way. Today we'll be covering questions 172 through 177, and to be a Christian in Anglican Catechism, the official catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I'm Father Kurt Hein, rector of Light of Christ Anglican Church in Georgetown, Texas, joined today by my co-catechist, Father Isaac Rayberg, rector of All Saints Anglican Church in San Antonio. But before we dive in, let's start with prayer.
This is the Collect for Proper 7. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So hallowed be thy name. We're on the first petition. We finished the address. We got the address right on the envelope that we're sending out. Now we start with the first petition. Hallowed be thy name. Question 172. What is the first petition?
The first petition is, hallowed be thy name.
Excellent.
Question 173. What is God's name?
God's name reveals who he is, his nature, his character, his power, and his purposes. The name God reveals to Moses is I am who I am, or simply I am. This name means that he alone is truly God. He is the source of his own being. He is holy and just, and he cannot be defined by his creatures.
Yeah, it's a simple fact of his being. He is being. He is not created, always has been there. Self-definitive, really.
Right. And this way, God is very, very different than us.
Yeah.
We are created, we have a beginning, we are finite, we have all kinds of different parts that work together. We respond to stimuli. God is the source of all things. He is uncaused. So I would quibble a little bit with this one phrase. He is the source of his own being. It would probably be more proper to say he's simply uncaused.
Yeah.
He alone is the true God, right? If God had a creator, then that would be God. The God is where it all stops. He's the bottom, you know, he's the, to use the, you know, in some of the Hindu myths, right? The cosmos is all on turtles. God is the final. He's the one on which the whole thing sits and who sustains all things.
I always thought that turtle thing was from the Discworld novels. They borrowed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the idea here is that God is the one who sustains, who created all things. He is uncaused. He is the source of all life.
Yeah.
He is who he is. He is the I am. And there's a theory that Yahweh, that name for God is actually the noun form of the verb to be I am. So that Yahweh also is saying he is the I am, the one who simply is. And that's definitional to God. He is the only one who simply is.
Is. Yeah. He is.
And because
174,
of that,
what are some other names for God given in scripture?
Throughout the scriptures, God is known as Lord. Through the person and ministry of Jesus Christ, God is also revealed to be one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I would have liked them to have maybe expanded this a little bit, because we do see other names for God in scripture. Lots of names that largely deal with how he's revealing himself at that time in terms of his actions. And even this word Lord does the same. In our Bibles, we're going to have two Hebrew words that get translated as Lord. And the reason for that is it goes back to a custom that was certainly alive at Jesus' day of not saying one of those names, and instead substituting it for the word Lord. And so on the one hand, we do have Lord in a very literal sense, master, boss, the one in charge. On the other hand, we do have what seems to be almost like God's first name as he reveals it, that we often think today is probably pronounced something like Yahweh. Yeah. Going back to that, probably related to the phrase I am who I am.
Right. They would substitute for, because the name was sacred, it was holy, they would substitute Adonai,
right,
Hashem, which means the name, for Yahweh whenever it showed up in scripture.
Yeah, and Hashem's a bit more of a recent thing. I think that's more Middle Ages, but certainly by the first century, substituting it for the word for Lord. And so in our English convention, most Bibles will, when you have it in all caps, that is referring to Yahweh. When it's in lower caps, it's referring to the word for Lord, Adonai. If you have both of them together, you might have lowercase Lord and then uppercase God. It's because in the Hebrew it is Yahweh Adonai. You know, both words are together.
Yeah.
Which doesn't, Lord doesn't work in English like that. But in the Greek of the New Testament, they're doing the same. So the Greek word Kyrios is used to translate both of those in the Old Testament. And the cool thing about that is that there are times where in the epistles where they're quoting from the Old Testament, and it's explicitly in the Hebrew referring to the holy name, to Yahweh, and St. Paul or whoever is applying that verse to Jesus himself.
Yeah,
so it's explicitly showing his divinity.
Right. That's Romans 10. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he's quoting Joel chapter 2. And Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Yahweh. So when we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, what we are confessing is that Jesus is the incarnate I am.
That's right. And we do see, as it says here, that he's been revealed in three persons. God is Trinity. We've talked about that a lot. And this is not merely appearance, but this is part of who he is.
Yes. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So question 175, what does hallowed mean?
Hallowed means to be treated as holy, set apart, sacred, and glorified. That's why, again, by Jesus' day, the custom was that you did not pronounce the holy name because it was too holy to be pronounced. That's not a scriptural command. It really is a custom. But we do have the command not to take his name in vain. And part of that is treating his name as if it was not holy.
Right.
So we do need it to treat it as set apart, sacred, glorified.
There's something very sad about us taking the name Jesus especially and using that as a replacement for a word for filth or excrement or something useless.
Right.
We ought not to do this. I think if you're in love, for example, you would never take your lover's name and use her name like that. Why would we use the God of the universe? Why would we use his name like that? So
it is a very weird thing when you think about it, and yet that is the way that happens.
It's really satanic. I mean, if you're going to use a word, use the right word.
That's right.
I mean, it's better not to. But don't take God's word, the name for God, and not treat it as holy.
And so number 176, how does God hallow his name?
God's name is holy in itself, and God glorifies his name by saving fallen humanity, by building his church, and by establishing his kingdom in this world and in the age to come. Now, this is a huge theme in this
yeah.
of God magnifying his name through his mighty deeds in human history.
And one of the things I really appreciate about this is it does show, you know, God making his name holy, God hallowing his name. After all, we really are praying for God to do so. And he does.
He does, yes. I remember some of the prayers that Moses prays to God. You know, God, don't do this, do this, so that your name is seen as great. I don't want your name to be seen as anything less than magnificent in the eyes of the pagans or the Egyptians. And God hears that prayer. And so God loves to work through us, and in working through us, he glorifies himself and his name. And that's not some sort of weird ego trip. What that is actually the good of all created things, because he is God, all created things are made to be in relationship with him as the head of all things. And so when he magnifies his name through answering prayers, through saving us through the cross and the resurrection, and his name is glorified, we are actually returned to our original created purpose.
That's right. It's setting creation the way it's supposed to be. And that is always good. Good is to be the way things are supposed to be. Yeah.
So 177, how can you hallow God's name?
I can honor God's name as holy by worshiping him, serving others, and living in loving obedience as his child and a citizen of his kingdom. So basically doing the things he's told us to do, right? Loving God, loving our neighbor.
Well, as Christians, we take on his name, right? We're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are called Christians, right? So we take on the name of Christ. And so the way we live reflects upon our Lord. And we then have a responsibility to live in a way that brings, that hallows God's name, that brings glory to the God who redeemed us and doesn't give cause for the unbeliever to curse God.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the worst things that can happen is that an unbeliever, or anybody really, thinks ill of God because of something that we as his people have done.
And that's a reality that we need to repent of and constantly turn to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness. Which is also going to be one of the petitions.
Yes, it will. We'll get to them all.
Well, excellent. Any last things that you'd like to say before we wrap up this episode?
No, this is really good. Hallowing God's name.
Well, let's go out into the world and hallow the Lord's name with our lives and with our tongues.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Anglican Catechesis, where we're learning to follow Jesus on the Anglican way. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a comment below. You can also take Anglican Catechesis with you on the go by subscribing to the podcast. You can find the link in the YouTube description. Lord willing, we look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.